I'm going to give you kind of a brief introduction to Ezekiel, and then we're going to work our way through Ezekiel in the next few weeks. As we kind of got last year, it's been 6 months, something like that, since we've done some of the Old Testament prophets, so we're going to work through some of these. So we're going to Ezekiel chapter number 3, I'm going to give you, we're going to read a little bit here, a short passage, and this is what we're basically going to talk about this morning. And then I'll jump back and I'll review kind of the basis of Ezekiel in the first couple chapters real quickly with you. But Ezekiel chapter number 3, verse number 10 is where we're going to start. Ezekiel chapter number 3, verse number 10. Bible says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity and to the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. And I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." Let's pray this morning, and we're going to talk about the watchman this morning in Sunday school. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the safety to give the buses as we hurried in, Lord. And I pray that you would just help the Sunday schools that will be going on. Lord, I pray that you clear our minds. And Lord, we've got a lot of things that is going on, a lot of things we're thinking about. Lord, I pray that you just guide us, direct us. Lord, I pray that you would touch my lips. Help me to only say what you'd have me to say. Lord, help me just be a blessing to the folks here. Thank you for this faithfulness that is represented in this room, and the watch people, the people that watch. And Lord, I pray that you just bless us and help us this morning. Thank you for your love, and I pray that you'd help pastors he preaches later today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you a quick, if you go back to chapter number one of the book of Ezekiel, we're going to give you a quick, kind of a real short overview of the first couple chapters here. And basically what we see here is where Ezekiel is at, okay? He was carried away to Babylon sometime between the first and the second deportation of Israel into Babylon. And it says in verse number 1, "That came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives," so he's a captive of Babylon, "by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw the visions of God." Now, who was Ezekiel? Verse number 3, "The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him." In the first couple chapters, all the way into chapter number 3, we see the calling, basically, of Ezekiel to the task that God has for him to do. And it is basically a prophecy to chide the children of Israel, to warn the children of Israel of and explain why they are in the judgment that they're in. And we see that in the first few chapters of Ezekiel. It's interesting, and I'm not going to go through all this, Honestly, I'm just going to tell you, I kind of have drugged my feet on Ezekiel because there's a lot of Ezekiel I read it and I just like, I don't understand that. Okay. And I'm just being honest with you. Okay. There's just a lot of, it's not like I have any divine, you know, vision of this is a real meaning. Honestly, I just don't understand it. Okay. And I'm just being honest with you. And I have prayed and I want the Lord, the Holy Spirit to show me things that would be a help. And I know prophecy, and even in Daniel, you notice we skipped a large portion of the book of Daniel, okay? A lot of it is prophetic things. And it's interesting, and if I had a PowerPoint and I took the time, I mean, I think it's interesting we could go through the book of Daniel and in correlation with Revelation, and we can see timelines. And it's amazing how the Bible prophesied things, and you took a look at all the generals and things that have come into power and have died, and you see the progression through the book of Daniel and through history of all these things that have happened. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things, I don't know, for me personally, it is something that we have to know. We need to know that those things. But, and I know all scripture is given for is profitable, and I want you to understand that. Honestly, I don't understand a lot of it. I have to read what other men have written for that. And I want to be a blessing to you. And I want it to be something that you can take and you can apply, honestly. Something that's a hands-on, hey, let's go work on this week, if that makes sense. Okay, so, but a lot of Ezekiel, I don't understand. I don't know what it's talking about, okay? Chapter 1 is one of those things, okay? He sees this vision. Why he sees this vision, I don't know, okay? But it talks about, and Schofield, he describes it as being a cherubim. Ezekiel calls it living creatures. We even read a verse over in one of the verses, verse number 13. It talks about the living creatures. And it was these cherubims, these having different faces, and they have wings. And I don't understand what all that is, okay? But it's interesting. One thing I do want to note on these cherubims is that the fact that they were spirit, wherever the Spirit took them, if you read this, wherever the Spirit took them, they went immediately. They were immediately obedient to the Spirit of God. And I just thought that was interesting that Ezekiel saw this vision of these cherubims or these living creatures, if you would, being obedient to the Spirit of God. And it's, you know, as a minister of God or as Christians, we all should be obedient and go where the Spirit of God leads us. Okay, and that was just one thing. Verse chapter number 2, it talks about the filling of the Spirit in verse number 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. And then why is Ezekiel commissioned? Verse number 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And then God goes on to tell them, you know, don't be afraid of them. Then we get to the passage that we read, chapter number 3, verse 10 through 21, and this is where we're really going to kind of kick it off, because I want to talk about this subject of the watchman. What is the watchman? What role did the watchman have, and what role do we have as watchmen today? Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 13. We're going to kind of jump off here. We're going to use our Bibles quite a bit this morning. Hebrews chapter number 13. Most of you are probably familiar with this verse. And Brother Chan, how does this apply to the adult Sunday school class? Well, we're going to look at this. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. The Bible says, Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It's interesting that it says, for they watch for your souls. For they watch for your souls. Now, obey, and I use this verse often when I'm talking to our teenagers and our younger kids. I use this verse a lot because there needs to be a proper relationship between a young person and the authority in their life. And it's obeying obeying those that have the rule over us. Now, I know that everybody in here, you still have rules over you. You know, pastor is the pastor of our church. And we need to obey, you know, what the Bible says, what he relays through the Word of God. Okay? It's not just about the man. It's about the position that God has put him in. All right? And we respect the man, but ultimately, he is the messenger of God, that he's bringing things. You know, he's got a program. He's got these things. And if we're stiff-hearted against what God has sent through him, we're no better than the children of Israel here in Ezekiel. You know, we're stiff-hearted. We're a rebellious house, if you would. So we need to follow our pastor in that. But obeying those that have the rule over you. You know, most of you would be probably in the class that I would consider you are the ones that my generation look to as far as we obey. You know, when you say you're the hoary head, we look to you and whatever you say, that's what we do. Okay, we're following you, if you would. So that's the generation. You're a generation that is kind of the ruling generation, if you would. A lot of because of your age, your experience, your wisdom, you're a ruling generation, if that makes sense. So obey them that have the rule over you. Why? Because who watches for our souls? That generation. Okay? And I want to apply this to you this morning. So in Ezekiel is called, now I don't know how old Ezekiel is. I probably should have done some more research, but God has called him to be a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now, what is a watchman? What is a Bible term of a watchman? All right, let's go to 2 Samuel. I'm going to give you two biblical illustrations. We'll pull just a couple interesting facts out of this. 2 Samuel chapter number 18. We've got two stories of watchmen that are probably very well known. 2 Samuel chapter number 18. This first story of a watchman is told after Absalom, the son of David, has been killed. After Absalom, son of David, has been killed. And we see a watchman on the wall. And we don't know the watchman's name. Okay? We don't know his name. But he is fulfilling a job. He's doing his duty. In verse number 24, 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 24. Bible says, and David sat between the two gates. Okay, so we know it wasn't David right here because he's sitting between the two gates. And the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. So where is this watchman at? He is at an elevated place and he's overlooking, he's observing. And watchmen on the wall, they would have to stand watch, hence the term watchman. Okay, and they would have different watches of the night, and the watchman would stand on the wall, and his job was to guard over the city, to protect the city from incoming danger, if you would. He was a security guard. Okay, that would be another term that we could associate today. We pick up over in Paxton. And we visit over by Carlisle, and we drive by the Carlisle prison. And you know what they have on the corners is watchtowers, okay? What is the job of the men in those watchtowers? To watch what is going. They're not trying to keep things out. They're trying to keep things in, okay? And their job is to watch those that are inside the walls of that prison. They're a watchman, okay? And a watchman, his job is to watch. And he's usually given an elevated position where he can see what is going on better. You know, it's hard to see what's going on when you're ground level with everybody else. And but a watchman on the wall. And we see this watchman, and there's some interesting things about him. Verse 25, and the watchman cried because of something he saw. He lifted up his eyes, verse 24, and he beheld a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And it's interesting, verse number 27 kind of there's some truths here, and we're not going to necessarily dive into them this morning. But it's interesting, in the two stories of the watchmen, you see that they know who is running. Now, they may not be able to see the face of the person, but by observation, they know the character of the person running. Okay? And look at verse 27. This is what the watchman said. And the watchman said, "Me thinketh, the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man, and cometh with good tidings." Okay? And so this Ahimaaz, now if you remember the story of Joab, he really didn't know what was going on because he didn't have the message. Okay? And he comes in and he says, basically, "I saw a fight going on, but I don't know what happened." And he just wanted to run because, but it's interesting. What did the watchman say? He observed. Now, his observation didn't just happen that day because he wouldn't have known that it was Ahimaaz running. Okay, does that make sense? So he had to, at some point previously to this, he had studied that person or he knew how that man ran. And there's a reason. Let me just apply this in a very practical way. There is a reason that he was the watchman. Okay? He wasn't neglecting his duty to observe and to watch and to study the character of people. You know, one of the things I respect about your generation is the fact that many times you don't say a whole lot, but you observe a lot. You can tell if I could come up to most of you and I could say, "Hey, what do you think about this teenager in our church?" And everybody would have an opinion. Now, whether it's the right opinion about them, but you know what? You've observed, you've noticed, you've taken into account actions. Maybe, men, it's at a work day and you're watching these young men work. And you develop opinions of that young person by the way they work. You develop opinions of a young lady by the way they act. And it's amazing how, as a watch person, we develop these, "I know who that is, and I know what they're doing, and I know their attitude." Okay? You know, as a pastor of the church, Pastor Ross, he has to develop an awareness of his congregation, where his congregation is at. Okay? And we're going to look at this. That's a role of being a watchman, is knowing where the people are, knowing who is running, knowing how they're running, okay? Because he can watch for things in that way. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 9. 2 Kings. Here's another illustration of a watchman on a wall. 2 Kings chapter number 9, verse number 17. And we see Jehu, and I like Jehu in the Bible. I know he's not everything probably, that God wanted him to be. But Jehu had some pretty serious zeal, and I like Jehu. But verse number 17, the Bible says, "And there stood a watchman in the tower in Jezreel." So once again, a man that is placed on a tower in Jezreel. So he has a good overview of what is going on. "And he spied the company of Jehu as he came and said, I see a company." All right. And Joram, which is the king here, or the one that's in charge, said, "Take a horseman and send to meet them and let him say, is it peace?" So there went one horseman back to meet him and said, "Thus saith the king, is it peace?" And Jehu said, "What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me." And the watchman told, saying, "The messenger came to them, but he cometh not again." So at this point, the watchman sees a company coming, and he says, "Hey, there's a company coming." And he shouts it down to warn those below him. And Joram says, "Send a horseman out and see who it is, and see if they come in peace." So they send one out, and Jehu said, "What do you got to do with peace? Get behind me." And I kind of just like that. It's kind of funny to me. So they sent a second one out. Verse 19, "Then he sent a second on horseback, which came to them and said, Thus saith the king, is it peace? And Jehu answered, "What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me." And the watchman told, say, "He come even unto them, and cometh not again." Now, the next part is the watchman's observation. And you're going to think, "Brother Chad, this is the way I think of a lot of young people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church." And he came not again. And the watchman said, "And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi." Why? "For he driveth furiously." For he driveth furiously. And so, and this is, there again, what the watchman had at some point identified the driving habits of this young man. Okay? He had at some point watched Jehu, I guess, drive, because that's how he identified him. All right? He was driving his chariot furiously. Now, I don't know where he saw him drive, but he had kind of put that away in the back of his mind. And I don't know if the watchman thought that that was a good thing that he drove furiously or a bad thing that he drove furiously, but he observed that Jehu was driving furiously. So, we see two illustrations of the watchman. Now, if we go back to Ezekiel chapter number 3, we see that God said, "All right, Ezekiel, I want you to be the watchman. I want you to be the one in an elevated position to point out things that are coming, to warn of danger." Okay? Now, as a watchman, he needs to understand some of the habits or some of the things that might be coming to him. All right? And that's a good lesson for us as Christians. You know, God doesn't want us just to be those that watch for the souls of the younger people. We need to be conscious of the dangers that are coming to these younger people. Okay? Men, you know, there's been things in all of our lives that we've struggled with. And I'm going to raise my hand right here because I struggle with a lot of things in life, okay? And if we're not careful, we want to hide all those things. Well, I just, you know, that's something in my past and I want to leave it in my past. And listen, I understand that. But do you realize that there are a lot of young people today that are right now fighting what maybe at one time you got the victory over? Today, they're fighting what you have already got the victory over. Brother Chad, I don't understand why I had to go through this in my life. Well, maybe it's because if God gave you the victory over it, do you realize that maybe there's some other people that are coming behind you that need to get the victory over this too? And you can hide it all inside and you say, "Well, I don't want anybody to know about that." Or if you see a young person that is struggling with something, why don't you come up alongside of them, or a young adult, my generation. I want you, if you see me struggling with something, I want you to come up to me and say, "Hey, I've noticed this. Are you doing okay?" I want that. And I want to take it in the right attitude. Because what is that? You're being a watchman for our souls. Just like Ezekiel, just like God called Ezekiel to say, "Hey, you need to warn the children of Israel about some things." All right, now, Ezekiel. So we see that in the life of Ezekiel, that he was commissioned by God to be a watchman. What was the first thing that he was commissioned to be a watchman for? First of all, he was commissioned to be a watchman for the wicked, to the wicked. And we see that in verse number 18. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in..." Whose iniquity does it say there? His. Okay? God's not holding... Okay? If a lost person doesn't get saved, it's not because... He doesn't go to hell because you didn't tell him. Does that make sense? All right? He goes to hell because of his sin. All right? But the Bible says you are also held accountable for that because you didn't tell him. And that watchman on the wall, if the city perishes, if the whole city dies because the watchman fell asleep on the wall, all right, it's not necessarily those people didn't die. I mean, that watchman didn't kill those people. Does that make sense? But they are held to his, their blood is on his hands. And when you see a young person that's not doing what's right, and you say, "Well, Brother Chad, I just didn't want to say anything," you know, honestly, God has set you as a watchman over this church, as a watchman over a younger generation. As a parent, I am a watchman for my children. And if I don't correct things, that blood, if you would, is on my hands. Okay? And the watchman to the wicked. Secondly, there is a watchman to the righteous. Now, it's interesting. The Bible talks about this righteousness. A righteous man. It's not a wicked man. It's not telling somebody about salvation. It's telling a righteous person something that they are doing that is wrong, and warning them about something that they are doing that is wrong. And you know, that's a lot what pastor does. Pastor gets up and preaches, and he preaches to two groups of people, the saved and the lost. And what does he tell the lost? What does he warn the lost about? About their wickedness, about their need of salvation. What does he challenge the righteous about, those that are saved? About our need to serve God, about our need to get rid of wickedness in our life. Okay? And he is the watchman on the wall. Why? Because he watches for our souls. He watches for our souls. Let's go to Romans chapter number 10. I'm going to show you these verses real quick. Romans chapter number 10. What's the importance? What is one of the importance of the watchman? Well, his job is to warn. That's what he's put up there for. He's not just up there to watch and just observe. And if something's about to happen, just watch it happen. That's not the watchman. The watchman is there to warn of impending danger. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Bible, we all know verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How is the wicked supposed to know about their need of salvation if the watchmen on the wall are quiet? How are the righteous supposed to know when they're going astray if the watchman on the wall doesn't proclaim that? Okay? And we need to be the voice that says, hey, don't do that. Hey, be careful. This is coming your way if you continue down that path. All right? So the watchman to the righteous, the watchman to the wicked. Let me give you a few things about the watchman this morning, and then we'll wrap it up. All right? First of all, we must understand the seriousness of the watchman. The seriousness of the watchman. You know, the watchman on the wall has the most important job of the entire army. What happens if the watchman doesn't take his job serious? He may have below, in the city below him, a host. Think about the city of Jerusalem when Belteshazzar and his people were having, or not Belshazzar, sorry. Belteshazzar is Daniel. Belshazzar and his people were having their, you know, party. What happened to the watchman on the wall? At some point, the watchman on the wall during that sin fest, I don't know if he was involved in it, but he wasn't watching properly. Okay? Because that whole city was overrun. What was that? It was a failing, if you would. Maybe they had everything within that city, the city of Babylon. Maybe they had everything in that city that could have been, I mean, an army that could have withstood a lot. And all that was within that city, but it came down to one man who failed in his job. The watchman on the wall. He failed. And you know what? You may have, the watchman may have unlimited resources below him, but if the watchman fails, the city falls. Think about that. If the watchman fails, the city falls. Remember, you are the watchman. If the watchman fails, the city falls. If the watchman in the church fails, the church falls. That's a pretty serious burden to bear. Okay? The seriousness of the watchman. What should the watchman be doing? Watching. Watching. You know, what if the watchman on the wall is so occupied, and we got to be careful as, what is my job as pastors allowed me to be with some of our teenagers, okay? And help try to help our teenagers. What is one of my jobs? I'm a watchman. And when I see things, I need to address those things. Brother Chad, you know, you got onto my child the other day. If I didn't, I would be failing in my job as a watchman. I would be failing in my job, okay? If I see something that's harmful, something that's approaching, that's dangerous, I would be neglecting my duty not to say something. Yes, sir. I've been hitting music. I mean, pounding music lately, okay? And I really probably ought to take a couple Wednesday nights sometime when pastor's gone. And really, I mean, I can go through music and we can talk. Everybody wants to throw this. Well, this has got good words. Listen, I can demolish any of that. Okay, I've studied the Bible. I know this about music. Some of you that are wishy-washy on music, we can go through the Bible and you'll have a completely different view about country music when we're done. You'll have a different view about contemporary Christian music. All right, obviously there's some that we would just say that's bad music. Okay. But do you know why it's bad music? Okay, I can tell you why it's bad music. What is that, Brother Chad? I see tendencies, and we're trying to be the watchman on the wall that says, hey, danger's coming. Because if I don't do that, I am neglecting my duty as a watchman on the wall. And if you see something in my life, as an older generation, if you see something in my life, and you don't say something, all right, that comes back somewhat on you. Now, ultimately, you know, if the watchman says, hey, the enemy is coming. The enemy is coming. I see somebody coming. And everybody down below just sleeps. The Bible says the watchman's hands are guiltless because he warned of the danger and they didn't pay attention. Okay? But it's the watchman on the wall. Listen, we must not be occupied. The watchman on the wall must not be occupied with the things of this world. With the things of this world. What's his job? His job is to watch and to warn. And what happens so many times is we start looking back and we don't watch for the danger that's coming. We watch what's going on, you know, down below the wall. The party that's going on. Maybe the watchman during Babylon, when Babylon was overthrown, maybe he was involved in the party instead of his job as watchman. I don't know. Okay, one of the things that's interesting, and we got to be finished up, and I'm going to give you something. You know, I think probably the hardest thing for the watchman on the wall is the fact that he fights his own flesh. Now listen to me. What do you mean by that? The watchman on the wall, the hardest job, the hardest job for the watchman on the wall was to stay awake. To stay awake. He's up there all by himself sometimes, and he's trying to watch. He's trying to see something, and it's so easy just to go to sleep. Go to sleep, okay? And it's not like what you feel sometimes during Sunday school. Brother Chad, it's just so easy to go to sleep. I see it. It's all right. I'm good with that. Just to go to sleep. But you know, there's some things that you can do. I know sometimes when you get older, it's hard to sleep at night. I don't really have that problem. I sleep really good all night long. But sometimes when you're older, it's hard to sleep at night. But you know, David said something. You know, I think David spent some time on a wall. If nothing else, he spent time watching over his sheep at night. He was a watchman for his sheep. Go to Psalms chapter 63. Psalms chapter 63. Look a couple verses here in Psalms. And we're not going to be able to go through all this today. We don't have time. Psalm chapter 63, verse number 6. David said this when he was actually in the wilderness. He said, when I remember thee upon my bed. Okay, so there's one spot. He's on his bed. And meditate on thee in the night watches. You know, those times at night when you wake up and you can't sleep, or you can't sleep at night, you know, that's a good time to meditate on the things of God. To meditate on the things of God. You know, I think maybe David was sitting there watching his sheep and he's fighting his flesh. He's fighting sleep. And he would take time to meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the things of God. Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119, verse 148. Get over there real quick. Psalms 119, verse 148 says, "My eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word." Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll get there as quick as I can and read it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." You know what's important for a group of watchmen on the wall, which is what you are? I have a small role as that. I watch for my family. I watch for some of the teenagers here. Okay, pastor has a huge role as a watchman. He has a whole church he has to watch over. But you know, it's very hard not to go to sleep. It's just, sometimes you just get lulled into everything's okay. Everything's going fine. But it's those times that the devil comes and the devil attacks. Meditate on God's word during those night watches. Watch. What is watching? Watching is watching in prayer. Watching in prayer. How many times, and we can't go to all these, how many times did Jesus say, "Watch ye therefore and pray, that ye enter not into temptation"? What is that? It's a watchman on the wall saying, "Hey, there's a temptation coming. Hey, young men, there's a temptation coming. Shut it off. Shut it off. Hey, young ladies, there's a temptation coming. Shut it off. Be careful." The Bible says the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We can't go into all of them, but that's an interesting study. If you want a neat word study, go, and I'll maybe preach sometime about it. But the word watch, what does it mean to watch? Basically, it's what I'm talking about this morning. You're a watchman. You're awake when everybody else is asleep. You're awake when everybody else is asleep. Both, sometimes very practically. Sometimes you're awake when everybody... You know what you can do during those waking hours? Pray for your kids. Pray for your grandkids. Pray for the young people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. All right? Pray for pastor. Okay? You can watch in prayer. Watch in prayer. Okay? What is that? I'm watching for dangers that's coming. What was Ezekiel's job to the children of Israel? He was a watchman on the wall. He was a watchman on the wall. His job was to cry out if there was evil things coming. All right? And that's our job as watchmen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to say something. Don't be afraid to say something. Hey, I see this. Hey, man, I see this tendency. I see this tendency. You know, part of the thing about the watchman on the wall is he was a part, you know, he was a part of those people beneath him. His family was down there. What happens if he fell asleep and his family got killed? His friends were down there. What happens when he falls asleep and his family gets killed or his friends get killed? That comes back on him. All right? We need to be the watchman on the wall. I want to be that for our young people. All right? Listen, don't get mad. Don't get upset if pastor has to get onto something. You know, I want to be a wise young adult that when one of you would come to me, listen, like I said, I'm open to it. Okay? If you see something, come up and say, "Hey, man, I noticed this." And I've had people do that before. And you know the first response is, "Well, I don't." But then it's like, "Hey, they're watching for my soul." Okay? They're watching for my souls. Be the watchman on the wall. Be the watchman during the night watches. Be the watchman in prayer. Jesus asked us, watch Didn't he ask the disciples, can you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch with me 1 hour. Let's be the watchman on the wall like God asked Ezekiel